Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Chris James.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
And I'm Chris James.
I am so excited that we're starting this series. For those of you that don't know Chris, he is our producer, director, creative producer, the whole thing. I mean, everything that's happening here in Jesus 101 is because of Chris. And I am thankful that Chris has joined us for this series. Are you excited, Chris?
I'm very excited. This is a great topic that I'm looking forward to.
Oh, good. Which one is that topic?
Do not fear.
All right. So we're doing a whole series, 20 programs on Fear Not. Did you know, Chris, that most people say that this is the most repeated exhortation in the Bible from God? Do not fear, fear not, do not fear, fear not. Some people have even counted 365 of these, one per day of the year.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes, I guess
it's important, I guess, to not be able to fear. And it must be something that we need to know then.
Yes, but we must be very fearful people, otherwise,
I think a lot of us are born fearful. I mean, I can actually remember when I was 5 years old. I remember this actually very, very well. My brother won't let me live it down, actually, because he makes fun of me to this day over it.
Okay.
But we were living in Utah at the time, and we were playing catch outside our house in the front yard, and we were playing catch with a football. And my brother tossed the ball into the street. And just at that time, it just so happened that a policeman was driving around.
Oh.
And he stopped when he saw us throw the football in the street and got out of his car.
Okay.
After that, I don't know what happened because I ran faster than I've ever ran in my life before. Into the house, up the stairs, into the bedroom, into the closet.
Oh, wow.
Hid in the corner underneath. With the door closed.
I mean, I was like terrified. Of the policeman?
I was absolutely, totally scared of the policeman. Why? I don't know. Because, you know, they're supposed to be there to protect and serve. But yet, for some reason,
That authority figure,
I was scared to death that he was going to put us in jail for throwing
Chris,
the ball into the street.
This explains a lot of the things I know about you.
Great. Yeah. We're off to a great start already.
Yeah,
it's only
right,
show
that's
one.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, there's something, there's a reason why God is constantly reminding us to not fear. And sometimes we find these exhortations in places where we were not looking for them. And today we're doing Fear Not God's Promises, because some people are afraid of God's promises. Some people have told me, I don't want to give my life to God because I'm afraid that his promises will come or not come true.
Right. Or he might have to do something.
Or something like that. And so today we're looking at when God made a big promise to Abraham about the fact that he was going to have a son. But the first thing God says to him in Genesis 15 is, do not fear. Do you want to read that, Chris?
Yeah, sure. It's, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.
And why would Abraham have been afraid? What do you think?
You know, that's a very good question. I mean, you know, obviously, if we read on, he's had a conversation with God before.
Yes.
And so he has a relationship. So mm-hmm. why is
he
scared?
Well, you know, I think that a lot of this fear, because we get this do not fear sometimes when there is epiphanies and you know, spiritual beings show up or something. But I don't think this is what Abraham is afraid. If things are going Abraham's way, except for the fact that God has promised all the way from Genesis 12 that he will have a descendants, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not happening. And Abraham is getting old and it's not happening. So the first thing God says is, don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield. I'm going to protect you and I have a reward for you. And Abraham answers in a weird way.
Yeah. He says, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?
Yeah. So this is so funny because the first thing Abraham says is, well, you don't want me to be afraid? What is it that you can give me?
Yeah. So, which is an interesting way to repeat. It's like, clearly he's not that afraid because he's bold, because he's asking immediately for something. He's like, Lord, you need to give me something. But yet at the same time, it's like he's showing a bit of that fearful side because it's like, because I remain childless.
Exactly.
So I'm scared of not having any descendants. I'm scared that I'm going to be the only one and my seed will not continue.
Exactly. And I think that's that he himself gives the answer of why he's afraid, because he's childless. See, in that society, being childless was like a curse from God. On top of that, he has already the promise that he's supposed to have a son, and it's not happening. So, you know, when we are afraid, we come up with our own answers.
Yep.
And he came up, he says, hey, this is my heir of my house, Eliezer of Damascus. I have an heir. Okay, God, you can rest.
Yeah. And that person happened to be a servant.
Yeah,
it wasn't just anybody that was the heir. It was a servant of all things.
Yes, except that because of the way he says it, and he says is an heir, is reflecting the adoption procedure of the Nutsis at that time, which means that you could actually take a servant and make them your son so that they could be your heir just for inheritance and for other purposes. So Abraham kind of answers his own question.
Uh-huh. He says, I'm taking care of this for you, God. Since you didn't take care of it for me, I'm going to take care of it, and I'm going to adopt a son.
Yes, I'm going to adopt Eliezer, and he's going to be the heir. And he says in verse 3, since you have not given me an offspring, one born of my own house is going to be my heir, which is in this case the slave. And God says, hey, I have a different promise I want to give you. Why are you trying to look for a way out yourself?
Yeah, well, he's trying to help God out. He's saying, look, you haven't done this for me yet. And many times we want to do that. We're like, God, you promised this. Why isn't it happening? Why isn't it happening? Well, I better go and do this. You know, let me help you out. You know, I'll take care of this for you.
So do you find that that is something pretty common in people's life? Is it in your life?
At least in my life, you know, I like to be in charge and I like to know what's happening and what's going on. And when stuff doesn't happen your way, you want to make it.
Yes.
You know?
Even if you had a promise of God, sometimes we're tempted to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to say, okay, let me find a different way. So Abraham actually says, okay, I have this man that was born in my own house. And God says, no, I have a different type of plan. Verse 4, he said, this man will not be your heir. Abraham, read my lips. He is not the one.
But a son coming from your own body.
Yes. So first of
all, not just an adopted kid.
Yes. And you can almost look at Abraham looking at himself saying, from this old body?
Yeah.
You know, it's like this needs a lot of faith. And God says, okay, you need more proof. And then he takes him outside.
Yep.
I know that you like photography, Chris.
I do. I love photography.
And you have some awesome photography of the heavens and the skies. What impression do you think this made in Abraham when God says, okay, we got to go outside?
I mean, clearly it must be at night, because he says, look up at the heaven and count the stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, wow. It's like, I mean, stars, count them?
Yeah, who can count them?
Yeah, especially when it's dark, like really dark. And I mean, obviously back then they didn't have lights like we have today. So
exactly.
It must have been a tremendous, awesome view of just thousands and thousands of stars.
He couldn't count them. I mean,
exactly.
I think that was part of the point. So shall your descendants be. And verse 6, it says that that Abraham came to believe in what the Lord was showing, and it was accounted to him as righteousness.
Right.
And this is the first verse we have in the Bible that somebody is counted as righteous by believing and not by doing. So this is a big, big verse for all of us that believe in righteousness by faith in verse 6. But then God goes on and makes a covenant, and he does it in a way that we're not used to, but it was the way.
We're not today used to that, that's
for
sure.
Yeah, no, and you probably read ahead, that's why you're laughing, because God will do something kind of weird for us, but this is the way you did covenants then. You kind of cut an animal and it was called cutting a covenant, you know, back then. And I don't know if you want to read some of these verses, maybe starting with verse 12.
Yeah, sure. Verse 12, it says, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions.
Wow, this is
amazing prophecy.
Yes, because this is not just a promise of a son, but it's almost like every step for the next 400 years.
Yeah.
You know, and then God does something. He walks, his flame walks among this animal that he's breaking this covenant, like showing this is a unilateral covenant, meaning this is my covenant with you, and I promised it, and I'm going to do it. And so he does this whole thing that we're not too used to right now. And then he even says the map, Abraham, the way it's going to look in the future, verse 18.
Yep.
The Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt all the way to the great river in Euphrates. Do you know when Israel owned all that land? Do you have any idea?
Well, you know, I actually have heard some of your videos, so the only reason why
I
know.
Oh, you mean you watch my videos
so
when you're working on them?
Exactly. So I'm going to have to say that took place during Solomon's reign is when it finally came and took place.
You know, it's the only time in Israel's history that the covenant of God with Abraham, the geographical covenant, became true. Not even under David, but under Solomon, the whole thing was done.
And that's also when God had his temple built.
Well,
which
yes,
I don't know if that's part of that whole, you know.
Well, that's
thing
right, because he was becoming, you know, God had a plan that everybody from the earth would come and see who God was. And this was the biggest territory Israel ever had. And it was at the time of the Temple of Solomon. That's great. You know, I think it's very important to understand that Paul will use this very chapter of Genesis 15, verse 6, to teach us about righteousness by faith. And I think it's so important because Paul thought it was important enough to say, look, God accounts this man as righteous even before he did anything, just because he believed in a promise that looked impossible. And that's why salvation for us is impossible, but God says, hey, believe and it will be accredited to you as well. And he does it in Romans chapter 4. I don't know if you want to read verses 2 and 3. They're very important verses in Romans chapter 4.
Yeah, verses 2 and 3 says, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.
And that is quoting Genesis 15:6. Mm-hmm. And I wish we had so much more time, because not only are we saved by faith, and we cannot see some of the things that God has promised, but we have faith in it. But that's the way we live our lives on a regular basis, not just salvation.
Yeah, and I know we're short on time, but there's just one thing. If we move on to verse 23 in Romans, in the same chapter, it says, the words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in the Lord. Who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead.
So it wasn't just for Abraham, it was for us as well.
For all of us.
And let me say this to our hearers. Like Abraham, sometimes you look at yourself and you can't believe it. But choose faith over fear. He's faithful.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.
Woohoo!
Plug into life. Welcome to Plug into Life, where you connect with the source.
Fear, fear, fear. It's so easy to be paralyzed by fear. Fear that we won't make it, that the stock market will collapse, that we won't have energy to finish the day. But there is a wonderful promise that I often claim when my day feels overwhelming. As your day, so shall your strength be. Deuteronomy 33:25. God knows what you need to survive today, so he will give you accordingly. Some days you will need more physical strength, some more wisdom. Trust that he will provide all you need according to the riches in glory that he has. Remember, his commitment to you is, as your day, so shall your strength be. And let tomorrow begin tomorrow.
For more insights and resources, plug into Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv.
Plug into life.